This is John Wilkerson, host of the Wired Homeschool. It's no secret that you're listening to the Secret Fire Podcast on the Great Commission Transmission Network.
Gandalf, my old friend, this will be a night to remember.
Broadcasting from outside the East Gates at the threshold of Moria, Middle-earth, this is the Secret Fire Podcast, sent to burn at the heart of the world, episode number 38. I'm Michael.
And I'm Micah.
On this episode, Gandalf has fallen and the company has scattered. What will the Fellowship do now that their guide has been taken away? Well, we're going to find out. We invite you to come along, join the Fellowship, become a servant of the Secret Fire, right here on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
All right, it has been at least a month since the last episode, episode number 37, which was the Bridge of Khazad Dûm Part 2. Fantastic episode. I don't remember exactly what we talked about on that episode.
Me neither.
So I don't necessarily have any addendums or afterthoughts or, oh, and another thing. If you folks had any of those while you were listening, you can go ahead and contact us at the various ways that we give you at the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. We want your feedback. We want you to reply to those party invitations. Micah, when we left off, as we have said, Gandalf fell at the Bridge of Khazad Dûm.
Yep.
In fact, let's listen to a little clip here as we back up. This is from the Lord of the Rings BBC dramatization.
This is a foe beyond any of you. I must hold the narrow way. Fly!
I will not yield!
Nor I!
You cannot pass! I am a servant of the Secret Fire, wielder of the Flame of Aenor. You cannot pass! The dark fire will not avail you, Flame of Udun. Go back to the shadow! You cannot pass! You cannot pass, I say! Back to your darkness! Back from this bridge, or I shall plunge you into the abyss! And fall! Spawn of Melkor! Fall!
Fly, you fools.
Okay, straight off the bat, Aenor?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of mispronunciation.
What was the Adun or something?
There's a lot of mispronunciation in that, and that's what you, like many others, have caught on to those mispronunciations. But get past that, and it's a fantastic dramatization.
Yep.
I love it.
Sure is.
All right, so what happens after that? The fires went out, and blank darkness fell. The company stood rooted with horror, staring into the pit. Ooh. Even as Aragorn and Boromir came flying back, the rest of the bridge cracked and fell. With a cry, Aragorn roused them. Come, I will lead you now, he called. We must obey his last command. Follow me. They stumbled wildly up the great stairs beyond the door, Aragorn leading, Boromir at the rear. At the top was a wide, echoing passage. Along this, they fled. Frodo heard Sam at his side weeping, and then he found that he himself was weeping as he ran. Dûm! 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 The drumbeats rolled behind, mournful now and slow. Dûm! They ran on. The light grew before them. Great shafts pierced the roof. They ran swifter. They passed into a hall bright with daylight from its high windows in the east. They fled across it. Through its huge broken doors they passed, and suddenly before them the great gates opened, an arch of blazing light. There was a guard of orcs crouching in the shadows behind the great doorposts towering on either side, but the gates were shattered and cast down. Aragorn smote to the ground the captain that stood in his path, and the rest fled in terror of his wrath. The company swept past them and looked and took no heed of them. Out of the gates they ran and sprang down the huge and age-worn steps. What? Out of the gates they ran and sprang down the huge and age-worn steps, the threshold of Moria. There we go. Thus at last, they came beyond hope under the sky and felt the wind on their faces. They did not halt until they were out of bowshot from the walls. Dimrildale lay about them. The shadow of the misty mountains lay upon it. But eastward there was a golden light on the land. It was but 1 hour after noon. The sun was shining, the clouds were white and high. They looked back. Dark yawned the archway of the gates under the mountain shadow. Faint and far beneath the earth rolled the slow drumbeats. Doom. A thin black smoke trailed out. Nothing else was to be seen. The dale all around was empty. Doom. A thin black smoke trailed out. Oh, I already said that. Grief at last wholly overcame them, and they wept long, some standing and silent, some cast upon the ground. Doom. Doom. The drumbeats faded. That reminds us of that epic shot of Frodo off on his own, and they call to him, Frodo, which was actually, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, I believe that was the very first shot of the film. That was the first filming. And so Elijah Wood was 18 years old at that point. By the end of the movie, how many years did they film the movie? 3 years, I think.
Yeah. Crazy.
And so that was him at his youngest point, that first
That's
scene.
An odd starting point.
Well, you know,
guess wherever you are at the time, you know,
well,
we're here.
Most movies are filmed out of sequence. It's a rare thing for a film to be filmed in sequence. So that brings us to chapter 6, Lothlorien. Micah?
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am. Let's go.
Am I ready? I am not ready.
Probably not. No.
Yeah.
Remember what Bilbo used to say? It's a dangerous business, Frodo. Going out your door, you step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to.
This is a fantastic chapter. There's a lot of information in here, and we are not going to complete this chapter, this episode.
Well, have we ever completed one
yes,
chapter?
Yes, yeah, we have.
When?
But I don't know. It was like a year or two ago. Long, long ago. Alas, I fear we cannot stay here longer, said Aragorn. He looked towards the mountains, and held up his sword. Farewell, Gandalf, he cried. Did I not say to you, if we pass the doors of Moria, beware? Alas, that I spoke true. What hope have we without you? He turned to the company. We must do without hope, he said. At least we may yet be avenged. Let us gird ourselves and weep. No more. Come, we have a long road and much to do. Right now, we're already going to pause and get through our Christian themes for this episode.
Wow, that was fast.
Because, well, what has happened, what has transpired is... Well, you can find a picture of this in the scriptures. You can use the Bridge of Khazad Dûm and this beginning of the chapter six, Lothlorien, in order to start a conversation with unbelieving friends and loved ones. Your friends that love the Lord of the Rings, and you can say, you know what, what happened here really reminds me of the scriptures. It reminds me of Jesus, and we've been talking all along about that prophet, priest, and king motif found in the scriptures applied to the Christ, but in the Lord of the Rings, thanks to Peter Kraft and his great lecture, Christianity in Lord of the Rings, we can see Gandalf as a picture of the prophet role of the Christ. Of course, Jesus was all three combined into one. We have those three spread amongst several members, and especially the three, Gandalf, Frodo, and Aragorn. Gandalf, the prophet, Frodo, the priest, and Aragorn, the king. Let's think about what has just taken place. Gandalf has sacrificed himself on the Bridge of Khazad Dûm. He says, you guys, you cannot face this foe. I can. And in the process, he defeats the foe and he falls, presumably to his death. Right? Mm-hmm. If you have never read this before, or if you've never seen the films before, sure looks like Gandalf has fallen for good. We're going to go to the upper room scene. In John chapter 16 is one location, but I just want to read John chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus speaking to his disciples, the 12, in that upper room, he says, a little while and you will no longer behold me. And again, a little while and you will see me. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31, Jesus had just instituted the Lord's Supper. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread. This is verse 26 of Matthew 26. And after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood, my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. We had mentioned in past episodes, I believe it was the very first part of Khazad Dûm, when they get in and they make it past the Watcher in the Water, and they make it up the stairs and they rest, and they Gandalf pulls out the vial of I can't remember what that was called
gone.
But that vial that Elrond gave him. Why can't I think of that? And we mentioned just in passing, hey, you know what? That is a picture of the Last Supper as well, right there. And so this whole, from entering into Moria to leaving Moria, to me is a picture of what took place in the upper room. So he continues on. He says, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. He is quoting from the Old Testament prophet Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 7 through 9 out of the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. It says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Well, that sounds like a picture of the Balrog coming as a sword himself against the guide. Their guide was Gandalf. All along the way, Aragorn has been saying, listen to Gandalf. He is the guide. He will guide us through this. But he also knew that Gandalf would, something bad was going to happen. That's what he just said. Did I not say to you, if you pass the doors of Moria, beware? Alas, that I spoke true. What hope have we without you? Zechariah chapter 13, verses 7 through 9. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man, my associate, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd that the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. It will come about in all the land, declares the Lord, that two parts in it will be cut off and perish. And okay, so this is, you know, heavy-duty judgment language is what's going on. But this is what this reminds me of. But there is hope in the story of Christ Jesus. In John chapter 20, verse 19, out of the NASB. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were, they had scattered, just as Jesus told them, just as Zechariah prophesied that this would happen when the shepherd, when God's associate, would be struck down. And they scattered in fear, and here they are hiding in this in this room, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And now we're going to switch our focus from Gandalf the prophet to Aragorn the king. "I will lead you. We must do without hope," he said. "At least we may yet be avenged. Let us gird ourselves and weep no more. Come, we have a long road and much to do." They rose and looked about them. Northward, the dale ran up into a glen of shadows between the two great arms of the mountains, above which three white peaks were shining, Celebdil, Fanuadhol, and Caradhras, the mountains of Moria. At the head of the glen, a torrent flowed like a white lace over an endless ladder of short falls, and a mist of foam hung in the air about the mountain's feet. Now, Mikey, you and I like to go down to Machine Falls here locally in Coffee County, Tennessee. And the last time that we were there together with your siblings, we were really impressed with the natural air conditioning.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing,
right?
Actually.
With the, because that water is falling and crashing so hard that it's just breaking up and the mist is going out. That's what reminds me of this when I read this. "Yonder is the Dimrill Stair," said Aragorn, pointing to the falls. "Down the deep cloven way that climbs beside the torrent, we should have come if fortune had been kinder."
"Or Caradhras less cruel," said Gimli. "There he stands, smiling in the sun." He shook his fist at the furthest of the snow-capped peaks and turned away.
Which reminds me of John Cleese as Basil Fawlty. Anyway.
Okay.
To the east, the outflung arm of the mountains marched to a sudden end, and far lands could be descried beyond them, wide and vague. To the south, the misty mountains receded endlessly as far as sight could reach. Less than a mile away, and a little below them, for they still stood high up on the west side of the dale, there lay a mere. It was long and oval, shaped like a great spearhead thrust deep into the northern glen, but its southern end was beyond the shadow under the sunlit sky. Yet its waters were dark, a deep blue like clear evening sky seen from a lamplit room. Its face was still and unruffled. About it lay a smooth sward, shelving down on all sides to its bare, unbroken rim.
"There lies the Miromir, deep Kalid Zaram," said Gimli sadly. "I remember that he said, 'May you have joy of the sight,' but we cannot linger there. Now long shall I journey ere I have joy again. It is I that must hasten away, and he that must remain."
That's beautiful speech.
Sure is. Gimli is very good with words.
Yeah. A master with words.
And that's what the dwarf... I do this a lot, but I just...
It's okay. It's your show.
I really dislike representations of Middle-earth's races. The elves are seen as proud and uncaring, and the dwarves are seen
distant,
as
right?
complete goofballs who, you know... But that it's just... To me, it disrespects what Tolkien created, but...
Well, now, let me just throw this out there, because The Hobbit, if you're talking The Hobbit movies, that was a very different book.
Yeah, the dwarves were... They did tend to be... And there is humor in dwarves, you know, how
yes.
grumpy they are, and they tend to grumble and stuff, but...
Yes. Oh. Got our horse there. No, I agree. This is beautiful. Beautiful speech. "It is I that must hasten away, and he that must remain." Tolkien is a master. The company now went down the road from the gates. It was rough and broken, fading to a winding track between heather and within. Wind that thrusts amid the cracking stones. but still it could be seen that once long ago a great paved way had wound upward from the lowlands to the dwarf kingdom. In places there were ruined works of stone beside the path and mounds of green topped with slender birches or fir trees sighing in the wind. An eastward bend led them hard by the sward of Miromir, and there, not far from the roadside, stood a single column broken at the top.
"That is Durin's stone," cried Gimli. "I cannot pass without turning aside for a moment to look at the wonder of the dale."
Balin was slain at this very spot in Third Age 2994. I think we mentioned that in passing when we were speaking about his tomb.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what this spot is. Is this stone in Lotro?
Of course it is.
Oh.
It's a monument of the franchise.
Well, good. I'm not sure how loud this Lotro sounds are here in the mix. Let me turn that down just a little bit more.
"Be swift then," said Aragorn, looking back towards the gates. "The sun sinks early. The orcs will not. Maybe..." Oh, gosh.
Let me try this again. Where's my rewind button?
"The sun sinks early. The orcs will not, maybe, come out till after dusk, but we must be far away before nightfall. The moon is almost spent, and it will be dark tonight."
"Come with me, Frodo," cried the dwarf, springing from the road. "I would not have you go without seeing Khalid Zaram."
And I don't know if I'm saying this properly, but Khalid Zaram is the Khazad Dûl name of Miromir. No, you try it.
But I think it's Khalid Zaram.
Khalid Zaram. Okay.
I mean, it's just a slight difference, but I think it flows more.
That's the Khazad Dûl. Khazad-dûl name, which is the language of the dwarves, is it not?
Very difficult to pronounce, yes.
What'd you say, Khalid?
Khalid Zaram.
Okay, Khalid is the word for glass. Zaram is the word for lake or pool.
Or did I say Khalid Zaram? I don't know. Just go with whatever you like.
Okay.
I'm no expert.
So there you go. It's the glass lake or the glass pool.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, "Come with me, Frodo," cried the dwarf, springing from the road. "I would not have you go without seeing Khalid Zaram. He ran down the long green slope. Frodo followed slowly, drawn by the still blue water in spite of hurt and weariness. Sam came up behind. Beside the standing stone, Gimli halted and looked up.
Complete opposite of what you said.
I'm trying to push too many buttons here. This is the comedy episode here of Secret Fire Podcast. The exact opposite. Beside the standing stone, Gimli halted and looked up. It was cracked and weather-worn, and the faint runes upon its side could not be read.
"This pillar marks the spot where Durin first looked in the Miromir," said the dwarf. "Let us look ourselves once ere we go."
So according to the dwarves of Durin's folk, after Durin the Deathless had awoken at Mount Gundabad in the north of the Misty Mountains, he traveled south until he came upon this lake. He looked down in it and saw a crown above his head, being the reflection of stars above, despite the fact that it was day and the stars should not have been visible. Taking the crown as a sign, he founded the great city of Khazad-dûm beneath the mountains that fed Miromir. And that was part of that song that Gimli sung for us a couple episodes ago. They stooped over the dark water. At first they could see nothing. Then slowly they saw the forms of the encircling mountains mirrored in a profound blue, and the peaks were like plumes of white flame above them. Beyond there was a space of sky. There, like jewels sunk in the deep, shone glinting stars, though sunlight was in the sky above.
Of their own stooping forms, no shadow could be seen.
O Khaled Zaram, fair and wonderful, said Gimli. There lies the crown of Durin till he wakes. Farewell.
He bowed and turned away and hastened back up the greensward to the road again.
What did you see? Said Pippin to Sam.
But Sam was too deep in thought to answer.
One thing, I don't know if we've discussed this or not, but I'm going to go with it. The fact that Tolkien has so many, I suppose, monuments that are locations or things that are just unexplained but clearly unique. Like this pool, obviously, it's got something about it. But yes. What is it?
What is it?
You know?
Right. And he leaves these mysteries.
I love mysteries.
Yes. That can allow our imaginations to wander. And welcome to, I believe it's Croupium in the chat room here on twitch.tv/secretfirepodcast. A reminder, it's hard for me to watch the chat room as I'm trying to misread the book. Right, Micah? That's the exact opposite of what it says.
I'm sorry, all right.
All right. So what did you see? Said Pippin to Sam, but Sam was too deep in thought to answer. That's pretty powerful. The road now turned south and went quickly downwards, running out from between the arms of the dale. Some way below the mere, they came to a deep well of water, clear as crystal, from which a freshet fell over a stone lip and ran glistening and gurgling down a steep rocky channel.
"Here is the spring from which the silver load rises," said Gimli. "Do not drink of it. It is icy cold. Soon it becomes a swift river and it gathers water from many other mountain streams," said Aragorn. "Our road leads beside it for many miles, for I shall take you by the road that Gandalf chose. And first I hope to come to the woods where the silver load flows into the great river out yonder." They looked as he pointed, and before them they could see the stream leaping down the trough of the valley and then running on and away into the lower lands until it was lost in a golden haze.
"There lie the woods of Lothlorien," said Legolas.
"That is the fairest of all the dwellings of my people. There are no trees like the trees of that land, for in autumn their leaves fall not, but turn to gold. Not till the spring comes and the new green opens do they fall. And then the boughs are laden with yellow flowers and the floor of the wood is golden and golden is the roof and its pillars are of silver for the bark of the trees is smooth and gray. So still our songs in Mirkwood say."
Gold and silver, Micah. That gives us the opportunity for a song. The Lonely Mountain Band doing Gold and Silver Trees.
Thank you.
Fantastic song by the Lonely Mountain Band. That was Gold and Silver Trees off their album Second Breakfast. You can find out more about the Lonely Mountain Band on their website at minstrelsongs.com. And as always, a big thank you to John D. Bartolo for allowing us to play all of his music. There's much more by him coming up.
Good.
Yeah. And I love that song because it reminds me of autumn, and that's what Legolas is talking about here. Even though in Lothlorien, the leaves do not fall in autumn. They don't fall until spring when the new green knocks them off the trees, I guess. Get out of the way there. One more time. Well, for in autumn their leaves fall not, but turn to gold. Not till the spring comes and the new green opens do they fall, and then the boughs are laden with yellow flowers, and the floor of the wood is golden, and golden is the roof, and its pillars are of silver, for the bark of the trees is smooth and gray. So still our songs in Mirkwood say. My heart would be glad if I were beneath the eaves of that wood and it were springtime. Micah, where are you in Lotro right now?
I'm in Nimrodel.
Okay, and what is it? Is it looking anything yet as what's being described here by Legolas?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I believe standing where they would be standing.
Ah. Okay, so tell us, describe your surroundings there.
Well, ahead of me is the beginning of the wood line, and these massive golden, yes, they are golden trees, just tower above, and they look like giant mushrooms or plumes. It's just, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yes, and there is that light that is like being given off. Fantastic stuff. For some time, Frodo and Sam managed to keep up with the others, but Aragorn was leading them at a great pace, and after a while, they lagged behind. They had eaten nothing since the early morning. Sam's cut was burning like fire, and his head felt light. In spite of the shining sun, the wind seemed chill after the warm darkness of Moria. He shivered. Frodo felt every step more painful, and he gasped for breath. At last, Legolas turned, and seeing them now far behind, he spoke to Aragorn. The others halted, and Aragorn ran back, calling to Boromir to come with him. "I'm sorry, Frodo," he cried, full of concern. "So much has happened this day, and we have such need of haste that I have forgotten that you were hurt, and Sam, too. You should have spoken. We have done nothing to ease you as we ought, though all the orcs of Moria were after us." Those are words of comfort and concern and compassion. Those are the. This is what, and I don't want to get into another, jump into another Christian theme, but this is the word Eleos, which is translated compassion or mercy in the New Testament. In fact, the most famous, in my mind, use of that word is in the story of the Good Samaritan, where that scribe, that lawyer, stood up to test Jesus, put him to the test. Oh, I would love to get into all of this, but we just don't have time. But he said, you know, "Well, teacher, what must I do in order to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, you know the law and the prophets. How does it read to you?" He says, "Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your, you know, all your mind, all your strength, all your mind, all your heart, soul, strength, might, all those things, and your neighbor as yourself." And what does Jesus reply? He says, "You answered correctly. Do this and you'll live." But then the lawyer isn't satisfied with that. He says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Who is my neighbor?" Right? And Jesus says, "Let me tell you a story." And he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And at the end of that, he says, "Which of these three men that came upon this waylaid traveler proved to be a neighbor to him?" And the lawyer had to concede. He had to say the one who showed him Eleos, the one who showed compassion. And Jesus says, "You're right. Go and do likewise." That's what, obviously, of course, Aragorn behaves this way, because he is the king of that prophet, priest, king motif. There, I just slipped in a second Christian theme for you guys.
Good.
I apologize for that. But so here he is, absolute compassion. And there's another word that we translate compassion as well, and that's a mouthful of a word. It's not easy like Elios. But this other word is a passive. It's what happens to you. And so he is, in this one paragraph, Aragorn is exhibiting the Good Samaritan. That first word that we'll translate as compassion in that story means that it happens to you. So he, in this instance, he sees that Frodo and Sam are hurt and that they're struggling, and he's just moved. It's really the word, it's your sacrum moving. It's your, you know, it's your heart being moved. So he sees them. He realizes, where, you know, oh, goodness, I have neglected these guys. So first you feel it, and then you do it. That's how compassion works, friends. First you feel it, then you do it. If you don't feel it, you got a bigger problem, okay? And you need to learn to feel it. And then you do it. So he says, come now, a little further on, there's a place we can rest for a little. There I will do what I can for you. Come, Boromir, we will carry them. Soon afterwards, they came upon another stream that ran down from the west and joined its bubbling water with the hurrying silver load. Together, they plunged over a fall of green-hued stone and foamed down into a dell. About it stood fir trees, short and bent, and its sides were steep and clothed with hart's tongue and shrubs and whortleberry. At the bottom, there was a level space through which the stream flowed noisily over the shining pebbles. Here they rested. It was now nearly 3 hours after noon. They had come only a few miles from the gates. Already the sun was westering. While Gimli and the two younger hobbits kindled a fire of bush and fir wood and drew water, Aragorn tended Sam and Frodo. Sam's wound was not deep, but it looked ugly, and Aragorn's face was grave as he examined it. After a moment, he looked up with relief. Good luck, Sam, he said. Many have received worse than this in payment for the slaying of their first orc. I love that. The cut is not poisoned, as the wounds of orc blades too often are. It should heal well when I have tended it. Bathe it when Gimli has heated water. He opened his pouch and drew out some withered leaves. They're dry and some of their virtue has gone, he said, but here I have still some of the leaves of Aethelas that I gathered near Weathertop. Crush one in water and wash the wound clean, and I will bind it. Now it's your turn, Frodo. I'm all right, said Frodo, reluctant to have his garments touched. All I needed was some food and a little rest. No, said Aragorn. We must have a look and see what the hammer and anvil have done to you. I still marvel that you are alive at all. Gently, he stripped off Frodo's old jacket and worn tunic and gave a gasp of wonder. Then he laughed. The silver corselet shimmered before his eyes like the light upon a rippling sea. Carefully, he took it off and held it up, and the gems on it glittered like stars, and the sound of the shaken rings was like the tinkle of rain in a pool. Look, my friends, he called. Here's a pretty hobbit skin to wrap an elven princeling in. If it were known that hobbits had such hides, all the hunters of Middle-earth would be riding to the Shire. And all the arrows of all the hunters in the world would be in vain, said Gimli, gazing at the mail in wonder. It is a mithril coat. Mithril! I have never seen or heard tell of one so fair. Is this the coat that Gandalf spoke of? Then he undervalued it. But it was well given. Listen to all these. Okay, this is what impresses me, Micah. I don't know what effect it has on you. Aragorn is a ranger of the North. He has the blood of the Numenoreans. He's one of the last men in Middle-earth with the blood of the Numenoreans in it. Mm-hmm. He comes up upon a foe, and quick as lightning, he strikes that foe down. This is a warrior of warriors.
Yep.
Gimli, a dwarf. They are hard. They're made from the earth. They are hard as stone. You don't mess with dwarves. Listen to their words, their gracious speech. Look at their actions. What does Gimli do to Frodo? Come with me, Frodo. You have to see this. This is so important to me and my people, and I want to share it with you. Aragorn, the concern in him, he's looking at Sam's wound, and his face is grave. Oh, this is my friend. He got hurt, and you know, he's under my care. And he has my concern. What can we learn about these mighty men and dwarves, these mighty beings that strike terror in their enemies? So they aren't sissies, okay? But their compassion, their tender loving care, their mercies, their kind words, so much in that word compassion, that word Elios. And I didn't prepare this. In Matthew 9, there's an instance where scribes and Pharisees are questioning Jesus. You know, one of those things, why are you eating with sinners and tax collectors? You know, just trying to insult him in public. And Jesus says, go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. Go and learn what this means. You don't even know God. God desires Elios. He desires compassion. He desires us to bind the wounds of others. And this is really a picture, again, this is all off the top of my head, and I apologize. But what Aragorn is doing to Sam and Frodo is really another picture of that upper room when Jesus took off his clothes and girded himself with a towel and got down and washed the feet of his disciples and gets to Peter, and Peter says, Lord, no, you're not going to wash my feet. You're the Messiah. Jesus says, if you don't allow me to do this, then you have no part in me. Well, in that case, not my feet only, do all of me. Jesus says, you don't need all of you. You've been cleaned. But what I'm doing for you, go and do likewise. Every time Jesus says to go and do likewise, it has to do with us lowering ourselves and becoming servants of others. And that's what Aragorn is doing, and his care, and plus his words, and Gimli's words. I have often wondered what you and Bilbo were doing so close in his little room, said Mary. Bless the old hobbit. I love him more than ever. I hope we get a chance of telling him about it. There was a dark and blackened bruise on Frodo's right side and breast. Under the mail, there was a shirt of soft leather, but at one point, the rings had been driven through it into the flesh. Frodo's left side was also scored and bruised, where he had been hurled against the wall. While the others set the food ready, Aragorn bathed the hurts with water, in which Aethelus was steeped. The pungent fragrance filled the dell, and all those who stooped over the steaming water felt refreshed and strengthened.
Make a note of that.
Okay.
I mean, this is going to be much later
now. Okay.
But okay. Aethelus throughout the book is extremely important, especially to Aragorn's character.
Yes. Because the hands of the king? Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Well, who's the great physician? Jesus. Soon, Frodo felt the pain leave him, and his breath grew easy, though he was stiff and sore to the touch for many days. Aragorn bound some soft pads of cloth at his side. The mail is marvelously light, he said. Put it on again if you can bear it. My heart is glad to know that you have such a coat. Do not lay it aside, even in sleep, unless fortune brings you where you are safe for a while, and that will seldom chance while your quest lasts. When they had eaten, the company got ready to go on. They put out the fire and hid all the traces of it. Then, climbing out of the dale, they took to the road again. They had not gone far before the sun sank behind the westward heights, and the great shadows crept down the mountainsides. Dusk veiled their feet, and mist rose in the hollows. Away in the east, the evening lay pale, or evening light lay pale upon the dim lands of the distant plain and woods. Sam and Frodo, now feeling eased and greatly refreshed, were able to go at a fair pace, and with only one brief halt, Aragorn led the company on for nearly 3 more hours. It was dark. Deep night had fallen. There were many clear stars, but the fast-waning moon would not be seen till late. Gimli and Frodo were at the rear, walking softly and not speaking, listening for any sound upon the road behind. At length, Gimli broke the silence. Here's Frodo and Gimli together again.
"Not a sound but the wind," he said. "There are no goblins near, or my ears are made of wood. It is to be hoped that the orcs will be content with driving us from Moria. And maybe that was all their purpose, and they had nothing else to do with us, with the ring. The orcs will often pursue foes for many leagues into the plain if they have a fallen captain to avenge."
Do you think Gimli's connection to Frodo is because of his father's connection to Bilbo?
That's a good...
The respect that Gimli shows Frodo?
Yes, because his family loves Bilbo.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Frodo did not answer. He looked at Sting and the blade was dull. Yet he had heard something, or thought he had. As soon as the shadows had fallen about them and the road behind was dim, he had heard again the quick patter of feet. Even now he heard it. He turned swiftly. There were 2 tiny gleams of light behind, or for a moment he thought he saw them, but at once they slipped aside and vanished.
"What is it?" said the dwarf.
"I don't know," answered Frodo. "I thought I heard feet, and I thought I saw a light like eyes. I have thought so often since we first entered Moria." Gimli halted and stooped to the ground.
"I hear nothing but the night speech of plant and stone," he said. "Come, let us hurry. The others are out of sight."
The night wind blew chill up the valley to meet them. Before them, a wide gray shadow loomed, and they heard an endless rustle of leaves like poplars in the breeze.
"Lothlorien!" cried Legolas. "Lothlorien! We have come to the eaves of the Golden Wood!"
"Alas, that it is winter." Under the night, the trees stood tall before them, arched over the road and stream that ran suddenly beneath their spreading boughs. In the dim light of the stars, their stems were gray and their quivering leaves a hint of fallow gold.
"Lothlorien," said Aragorn, "glad I am to hear again the wind in the trees. We are still little more than 5 leagues from the gates, but we can go no further. Here, let us hope that the virtue of the elves will keep us tonight from the peril that comes behind."
"If elves indeed still dwell here in the darkening world," said Gimli.
"It is long since any of my own folk journeyed hither back to the land whence we wandered in ages long ago," said Legolas. Little information here. The Sylvan Elves, or Wood Elves, was the name used to refer to the reclusive forest-dwelling elves in Middle-earth. In the late Third Age, the Sylvan Elves mostly belonged to either the Galadrim, or Galathrim, is actually how I believe how it's pronounced, or to the elves of Mirkwood. The Galathrim, or the Tree People, were the elves, mostly Sylvan in origin, who inhabited the woods of Lothlorien. In the beginning, the Sylvan Elves of Lorien were a small and scattered people, and as the power of the Longbeards of Moria grew, they relocated to the eastern side of the Anduin.
Some good info?
Yeah. That was free.
Now, the Sylvan Elves are the ones that chose to remain behind, right?
Yeah. Yep. Okay, but he goes on. Legolas says, "As long since any of my own folk journeyed hither back to the land whence we wandered in ages long ago," said Legolas, "but we hear that Lorien is not yet deserted, for there is a secret power here that holds evil from the land. Nevertheless, its folk are seldom seen, and maybe they dwell now deep in the woods and far from the northern border." "Indeed, deep in the wood they dwell," said Aragorn, and sighed as if some memory stirred in him. "We must fend for ourselves tonight. We will go forward a short way until the trees are all about us, and then we will turn aside from the path and seek a place to rest in." He stepped forward, but Boromir stood irresolute and did not follow. "Is there no other way?" he said. "What other fairer way would you desire?" said Aragorn. "A plain road, through it led, a plain road, though it led through a hedge of swords," said Boromir. "By strange paths has his company been led, and so far to evil fortune. Against my will we passed under the shades of Moria to our loss, and now we must enter the Golden Wood, you say? But of that perilous land we have heard in Gondor, and it is said that few come out who once go in, and of that few none has escaped unscathed." "Say not unscathed, but if you say unchanged, then maybe you will speak the truth," said Aragorn. But lore wanes in Gondor, Boromir." "Wow, that's a powerful statement." "But lore wanes in Gondor, Boromir. If in the city of those who once were wise, they now speak evil of Lothlorien." Let me read that again. "But lore wanes in Gondor, Boromir. If in the city of those who once were wise, they now speak evil of Lothlorien. Believe what you will. There is no other way for us, unless you would go back to the Moria Gate, or scale the pathless mountains, or swim the great river all alone." "Then lead on," said Boromir. "But it is perilous." "Perilous indeed," said Aragorn. "Fair and perilous. But only evil need fear it, or those who bring some evil with them. Follow me."
We have to remember that the kingdom of men once spread across essentially all of Eriador. So when Aragorn says that lore wanes, it's because the south got completely cut off when they lost the northern kingdoms.
And they just started losing, just the second law of thermodynamics just kicked in, right? Just went to from order to chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's what this story is. I mean, this is... You know, the it's darkest before dawn, really, is what's going on. But I think that's where we'll leave it.
You need say no more. We'd best get a move on. There are still goblins about.
Oh, bother. More mountains?
No, don't you see? The sun is setting in the west, behind the mountains. We're on the other side, to the edge of the land beyond.
Fantastic stuff. I told you I was very excited to get to this chapter.
For good reason.
And we made it to the point where I wanted to get to. With a whole lot of extra stuff that I threw in for free there. Oh. What stood out to you, folks, you listeners, about this first part of chapter 6 of book 2 of The Lord of the Rings, Lothlorien? You know, it's just poignant and it's striking to see these Christian themes. And just to remind people, in letter number 213 by J.R.R. Tolkien, he says, "I was born in 1892 and lived for my early years in, quote, the Shire in a pre-mechanical age. I am a Christian, which can be deduced from my stories." And in fact, a Roman Catholic. That was letter number 213, where J.R.R. Tolkien says it should be obvious that he is a Christian by reading his stories.
It is.
It is. Absolutely is. But in the meantime, Micah, since our last foray and our last time sending out party invitations...
What on earth are these?
Replies to the party invitations.
Good gracious.
Yeah, good gracious. We received plenty of party or responses. RSVPs, I guess? I don't know.
Well, the amount of time we were away, I would say.
Yes. Well, first off, a voicemail from our patron saint, Michael Potter, the Ranger of the North.
Greetings, Secret Fire friends. This is Michael, the Ranger from the North. Michigan. I wanted to express my thanks to Michael, Micah, and Brendan for the podcast. I also wanted to personally challenge every listener to become a supporter of the Secret Fire podcast with me on Patreon for a minimum of $2 a month. If you've enjoyed listening as I have, I know you want to help. Namadie, everyone.
You know, thank you very much, Michael Potter, for that. That was totally unsolicited. He chose to call in and encourage people to help us out, help support us. We need Lumbus bread to keep this adventure going. He's a wonderful brother and a member of this fellowship, and we are blessed to have him. We also received a comment on our YouTube channel, and I believe this was on our previous episode because I do port these videos from Twitch. I put them in our YouTube channel, which I don't have an easy way to get there. Here's the easiest way to get to our YouTube channel. That is gctnetwork.com/SFP for Secret Fire Podcast YouTube. gctnetwork.com/SFP YouTube. This was Mark, I hope I say his last name properly. Forgive me if I don't. Mark LaPicola left a comment, said, "Love your show, guys. Balrogs may have wings, but it doesn't mean that they flew with them." Odd as that sounds, right? Spread wing intimidation goes a long way when you are shadow and flame. Most of the artwork and the Jackson depictions all show wings. I just picked up the latest printing of The Complete Tolkien Companion by J.E.A. Tyler. It's about 100 pages longer, over 700 in total, than the original I bought 30 years ago. It's a great reference page turner. So there's a couple of things in there. And I love what he says. Wings are intimidating, You know, when you have those spread out. And so even if they didn't use their wings to fly, if they have wings, that would be an intimidating thing.
Yeah.
And we'll just leave it at that.
Sure.
I think that we talked enough about that already. I'm going to have to, I don't have that Tolkien Companion. I am familiar with it, The Complete Tolkien Companion. I'm going to have to look into getting a copy of that. What book did I get recently? I got a book recently. I don't even remember what it is.
The Tolkien Letters book?
No. I already had that. I got a hard copy, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. We have a new patron, and that is Robert Steele. He joined up shortly after the last time that we podcasted, which was a long time ago.
Yeah, don't
and
ask
so,
me.
Robert Steele, welcome to the fellowship. We really appreciate it. In fact, in the chat room on Twitch right now, we are joined by, and I don't know if I'm saying this properly, Croupium. And, he just became a patron.
Awesome.
A supporter and a member of the fellowship. You are now a patron saint. We just appreciate you folks very, very much. We also got some other feedback on other YouTube videos that we have done, but I'll leave that for you folks to explore on your own, because now it's time for the party tree, for fun stuff. Micah, I started up a brand new YouTube series on our YouTube channel. Again, that's gctnetwork.com/SFP YouTube. Or just go to YouTube and search for Secret Fire Podcast, talking about the letters of J.R.R. Tolkien. and did the first episode, and that was from letter number 213, which I quoted from a little bit earlier on. The point of this series is to learn more about J.R.R. Tolkien as a man, as a person, mm-hmm. not just the genius behind the Legendarium. Between Ea, or behind Ea and Arda and Middle-earth and all of the fantastic stories. Well, the Legendarium, as he called it. We want to know more about him as a person, because the more that we learn about him, the more we're going to learn about Middle-earth. I believe that wholeheartedly. Even in that quote that I said, I'm a Christian, which can be deduced from my stories. Tolkien is dispersed all throughout this, and that first episode was in that letter, which was a lady was writing to him wanting to know more about him. And that was from 1958, that letter was. And he says, I'm a hobbit in all but size, and we've talked about that many times. And he describes himself as a hobbit. And the next episode, we're going to talk about letter number 31, I do believe, and we're going to stay with that theme. Because I think it's a very important thing in order to better understand his creative process, to know that he is a hobbit himself. And since I am a hobbit, I encourage you to get over to YouTube and watch that video if you haven't seen it. Also, the other day, by the time that this is released, last week was my birthday. And so on my birthday, I decided to hop on Twitch and stream some LOTRO. And I just took you for about an hour through the Shire and in my personal house, our kinship house, and just walking around looking at hobbits. And we went and visited four very special people in LOTRO, and they are all Inklings. Mm. So you want to find out about that. You want to see their anagram, their representation in Lord of the Rings Online. Again, go to our YouTube channel and watch that video as well. Also, last week or the week before, here recently, I posted a Patreon-only video, and that's going to be private, only for our supporters on patreon.com/GCTN. And I'm getting ready to do more of those. I asked for feedback on what folks wanted, and I got some, and we're going to do more of those. It's going to be fun. I'm going to actually take you behind the scenes and more into our lives here and what makes us tick, why we do what we do here at the GCT Network and especially the Secret Fire podcast. Micah will even make appearances in there.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm going to waylay you.
You better not.
And lastly, of my party tree stuff, fun stuff, I'm Jacob Marley.
Woo!
Do you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. You do, don't you?
Of course I know. But,
yes, our local community theater. This, for Christmas, we are putting on a production of A Christmas Carol, and I am playing Jacob Marley.
A well-deserved role.
I have two favorite characters in that story. I believe that A Christmas Carol is so important. I say tongue-in-cheek, don't take me seriously, so you don't have to get angry about this, but tongue-in-cheek, I say that A Christmas Carol should be part of the canon of Scripture. I believe that it's that important of a story, and I get to play one of my very favorite characters, so there you go. Micah, how's college going?
It's going pretty well.
You're knocking them dead on all of your tests and
killing
everything?
It, getting straight and you're A's already, and B's.
And already at midterms?
Apparently, yeah.
Wow. So, there we go. Anything else you want to talk about, Micah?
No, I'm good.
No? Did I already play We Better Best Get a Move On?
Go ahead and play it again.
Again?
You need say no more. We best get a move on. There are still goblins about.
Oh, bother. More mountains?
No. Don't you see? The sun is setting in the west, behind the mountains. We're on the other side, to the edge of the land beyond.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Secret Fire Podcast. Next time, Lothlorien Part 2. But before we leave, we need to send out some more party invitations. The Secret Fire Podcast is live in the GCT Network studio whenever we are actually live in the GCT Network studio, and we'll send out notifications when we're broadcasting on our Twitch page.
The best way to get notified when we're live in the studio is via Twitter, @SecretFireCast. And you can join us on the Arkenstone server in Lord of the Rings Online at lotro.com.
send all email to secretfire@gctnetwork.com, or you can call our Hobbit hotline. Fatty Bulger is standing by at 507-407-GCTN. That's 507-407-4286.
Hello?
Hi, Fatty. And, that's it. Hey, subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcatcher, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcast app. Just search them all for the Secret Fire Podcast. Our theme song, Hobbit's Dance, is from the album Memories of Middle-earth by Brobdignagian Bards. Find out more about them and buy all the music on their website at thebards.net. To find out more about the Secret Fire Podcast, as well as our other shows, including Finding Christ in Cinema and The Theonauts, visit our main website at gctnetwork.com. If you like the Secret Fire Podcast, please share it with your friends and review the show in iTunes. If you love the Secret Fire Podcast, please become a patron saint and a sustaining member of the fellowship on our Patreon page at patreon.com/GCTN. And until next time, we regret to tell you
that this is the end. I'm going away. I'm leaving. Now. Goodbye.
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 It was tied to a gold and silver tree.
That's what I was going to say.
Hey!
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission.
This is your Great Commission transmission
at gctnetwork.com. This is your Great Commission.